Welcome to This Tango Voice, a show where we hear from tango dancers in our community about their recent adventures. I'm your host, William Lee. Today, we're joined by Tiffany, a recent graduate and a new addition to the Oxford Tango community. Tiffany's been dancing for a year, and she's here to share her journey from her very first tango class, Practica and Milonga, all the way to her first festival. We'll also dive into her thoughts on leading and following, tango etiquette, and her new perspectives on tango. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Do you want to introduce yourself quickly to our listeners?
I'm Tiffany.
You started in the summer last year to dance tango. So what motivated you to start taking lessons?
At some point, I had the idea that I would like to animate people dancing tango, and then realized both that I had no real idea of how exactly it worked, and that copying other people's choreographies is only gets you so far to understanding what the interactions are, right? So you can kind of copy.
So were you watching YouTube?
Also thinking this looks really nice, I would like to
But why tango out of all other sort of partner dances?
I just think it looks I really like the technicality of some of the footwork, and it's very sharp and dramatic. That was the main thing that attracted me to it.
And what is this animation? Tell us a little bit about it.
It's in progress and may never be completed, but it's just a project that I started many years ago now, and just work on and off on it. It's changed a lot over time as to what exactly the scope of it is, but it's basically, at one point I just made a character design that I was I really like this character design, I should use it somewhere.
Okay.
And then that was kind of the initial thing, and it's also just a place where there's a bunch of things I want to animate at some point, or just just think look cool and would like to take the time to study and I guess replicate. And
And you told me this is hand drawn.
Frame by frame style.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So I don't expect it to be finished soon.
How much material do you have?
At the moment I've still been trying to storyboard stuff, so it's to plan out where things are going. And that kind of thing.
Okay. So is this going to be a one episode thing?
I picked a song is not tango music, going to make my life much harder when I have to choreograph a tango piece to not tango music. But that gives me a length.
Okay. But what is the music? Can I ask?
it's a piece called From Darkness to Light.
Okay.
By a band called Sweet Smoke.
Okay.
And it's very good. It's very not tango, but it's kind of jazzy, and I think it's been called krautrock, which I'm not entirely sure what that is other than that.
So you also mentioned that part of the motivation was also there's no ice hockey.
Which
is kind of what you do during term time.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Normally I play on the uni team.
Okay.
And then there's no trainings usually over summer. It's very sporadic because it's just up to if people are there. Mm.
Are there any transferable skills from ice hockey?
I'm not sure. I guess the main thing is probably to do with balance a bit and body awareness of where your body is.
I can imagine that's quite,
interestingly, so there are actually transferable skills from tango to not ice hockey, but just skating and in spins and bouncing and the pivots, actually some of the tech, the like,
oh, I see.
I don't know, there was a bit of,
the way you
at one point I was just messing around and with the spinning, just the how you're meant to like kind of let your like some your leg like just swing.
I see. Yeah.
Or kind of follow, you know, like as in let it go and like take its natural path.
Okay.
There's an element that makes is useful, like to basically dance but on ice skates a little bit. But yeah, there's a lot of things you also, when you're moving, you can't do the same kind of like pivots. But maybe figure skaters can, but like, I can't.
Okay.
But as in like, well, I was thinking about this at one point because like I also roller skate and like people asking me, like, oh, you know, like, do you reckon you could dance tango on roller skates? And I thought that, so I thought about it, but it's, it would be very difficult because right. when you're moving, you can't do the same amount of like, yeah, pivoting and it's,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Then you like, so you can turn, but it's not,
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't know where I'm going.
So, wait, so like, how long have you been playing ice hockey?
Since I started uni, so about...
Oh, okay.
Now it's like eight yeah. years.
But did you ice skate before that?
No, so I picked it up in first year.
Oh, really? Okay. That seems how...
Sucked in.
Yeah, well, I feel that's another whole rabbit hole to get down. So... Summer last year, no ice hockey, wanting to work on your animation project,
yeah.
You decided to take up tango.
Yes.
Okay. So what did you do? What actions did you take?
I opened my computer and found Google and looked up tango in Oxford. And then it turned out that there was, in fact... an Oxford Tango Society that did lessons.
Okay.
And also advertised that you didn't need a partner before joining, which was the, one of the...
So this is the Oxford Tango Academy?
Yeah, the like city...
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Group. So tell me about the first lesson.
For background context, I was a bit nervous about showing up because it was... Well, I don't know, like a new thing, new people, and I didn't really know what the rules were and things like that. So
yeah, like what's the done thing? What the etiquette are?
And just,
okay.
Yeah.
And you said you've never been to a dance class before.
No, yeah, I've never done any. Like okay. So yeah, I didn't really know what to expect, and I was so I showed up, and then everyone was very kind to me on the first. Those were very nice. Like the pre-session. And then right as the lesson was about to start, my supervisor just walked through the door. And by that point, it was obviously too late to run away or anything like that. So I just kind of had to awkwardly...
What's your working relation with your supervisor?
Yeah, there's another thing to mention. Because we don't really interact very much. It's more of a like technical supervisor.
Because is that standard relations between PhD students and their supervisor.
Because he's like the supervisor. My supervisor as per the university, but I have another person who is supervising me who is no longer affiliated with the university and therefore is the person I actually
interact with.
On a regular basis.
So you're at your first tango class.
Yes.
Your formal supervisor, which you barely know, walks through the door just as the class is starting.
Yeah.
And then what?
Well, so then that's a bit awkward, but I thought I should carry on and persevere.
Yeah.
Work through it. Then I guess the class started. Before going, I'd like, so I've been looking at a bunch of tango videos.
Yeah.
And I was like very on board with everything except this one step, which is where there's a kind of moment where the follower is meant to be kind of like wiping their shoe on the leader's leg a little bit. And like that specific part of the wiping the shoe up the leg is the part that I was just like, anything but that, really. That I'd be happy to do anything but that. Even like the same move without the foot wiping would be fine.
I've never heard it described that way. But okay.
That is how the teacher described it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, this was Zalando.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, so we were doing this move, and I was not doing the foot wiping bit. I was just doing the like pivot stop, and then I wasn't committing to it. And then I think I may not have been the only one who wasn't committing to it. Mm. But he noticed this, and then thought to call us all out. Their trousers were too clean, and he noticed, and so he called us out on it, and was like, no, it's like it's important that. Like, contact is very important. You need to like, show your partner where you are, and a lot of that is in the contact. And, like, this, like, wiping your foot on their leg is contact. Okay. And so he gave us, you know, I say lecture, but, you know, he did go on about it and like, emphasize the point. So I kind of figured, well, okay, I'll figure it out. We've been told this is the first thing. And because we were switching partners, it means that we were just, like, rotating around everybody.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the next partner I had right after this, like, lecture was my supervisor, which was not ideal. But because we just had this talk, I was like, well, I can't not do it now. So I just had to persevere through it.
And how was his reaction?
I mean, he was very respectful, nice. I have no, like, I don't know. I
didn't say what. Look down on his trousers.
Like. Yeah, what is this smudge on my trousers? There's a bit there. No, but I think I was sufficiently mortified that I didn't require any extra help.
Okay. So that was your first lesson.
That was my first lesson.
You clearly enjoyed it sufficiently to return and to stay.
Well, yeah. I mean, I did hesitate a lot before returning, and basically it was just like, if this experience is what I am gonna have to replicate every time, then I don't want to be going through that again. But eventually, after much deliberation, I decided that I should give it another chance because it would be.
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe, you know, not all classes are going to be about that one move that I really hate, and maybe we get a different move that would be better, and then it would be less traumatic.
Yeah. Okay. So you went back.
And then I went back, and then it was much better because we were doing a different move.
Okay. Well, if you survive that, then you can...
I guess, it can't possibly be worse. So it can only improve. Yeah.
Okay. And then you mentioned... You went to your first pratica after the first two lessons.
I don't. Well, maybe, or maybe like 2 weeks or something. I don't know. It wasn't. I still didn't really know what I was doing for sure. But.
So what did you think a pratica was?
I just thought it was a very informal place to practice tango.
And it is.
And it kind of is. I guess I didn't realize that. I mean, you probably should know more than nothing. I guess when you show up.
So this was advertised during the class that you.
Well, it was just advertised that there. So they do this. So I, after having been there for a year now, I know that they do this at basically every class and go like, by the way, guys, come to the practica. Yeah. Like, it's on blah blah day, and it'll be great. Yeah, it'll be good. Like, come along.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of heard this and I was like, well, okay. Like, a practica sounds like practice.
Yeah.
Sounds like. I think I need right now sounds like I should go. And then, yeah, I turned up and realized upon showing up that a lot of the people knew what they were doing a lot more. And it was a lot more
So
it wasn't necessarily that serious, but definitely the perception I had of it was that it was way more serious than like I was initially expecting it to be.
And how was that?
Well, so it was... It was stressful, but it like, I don't know, everyone was, like, I think very nice to me.
Like, pretty much, like, friendly,
so. Yeah. So, like, I think most of the leaders, like, basically I danced with, like, most of the leaders there once.
Okay.
And then I guess they didn't dance with me again, but I fully understood that. I was like, fair enough. But, I also got to watch, like, other people doing tango as well, and that was really good.
Yeah.
And... Yeah. And then so, I guess also like after having been to that first time, I like having gone there, I was like, oh, that was maybe I was went there a little bit too early and like shouldn't have done that so soon. But okay. Also once you've done it, you're like, well, kind of did show up. So I guess I like, yeah, then the hurdle of going next time is like way lower, yeah, because you're just like, well, yeah, I guess I did it already. Like, it was it can't be worse. Can't get worse from here. And I still need to improve. So
okay. Like, so you went back the week after.
I can't remember exactly, but I did go back like, you know, the week after, or maybe the 2 weeks or something like that.
Okay.
But
so within a month, you were going to all the classes and all the practicums.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, tell me about the first milonga that you went to. How long after you started did you go to your first milonga?
I guess it would have been like 9 months or so.
9 months, okay.
Well, it was in...
But why so long? I mean, you went to a practicum in 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, so... Well, pretty much from like the, like, I don't know, like the early on in my practica going things, there was like some people who were asking me, oh, so when are we going to see you in Milonga? Uh-huh. And so some people saying that, but then also I'd heard from other people that, oh, you know, you're so brave to show up to a practica after only like X many lessons. This is so like, you know, I would never have done that, blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, I never showed up to a milonga until like at least a year of tango, et cetera, et cetera. So I kind of got the impression that milongas were, you know, an even more formal step than the practicas. And I should definitely not just, you know, rock up to it and without preparation.
So what made you finally take the leap? How did you know you were ready?
Well, I guess part of it was, yeah, I guess felt a little bit more confident in that I could do a decent job following.
Okay.
And then also there was some, an invited show at that, like one of the milongas that were coming up.
Mm.
And I think basically up to like a few hours before, I was on the fence about whether or not I would go. But I made the either mistake or like good decision of like just watching a video of their dance on YouTube, going like, would I be annoyed with myself if I didn't go and see the show?
So you saw the couple. You saw a video of the couple due to perform.
Yeah.
On YouTube, okay.
And I saw it and I was like, oh, I can't possibly miss seeing them in real life. So I dragged myself to the...
Yeah. Do you remember the couple? Hell. The names of the couple?
No, I should have looked that up.
Yeah.
It's, I think, maybe the 2015 winners of, like, the World Tango Championships. Or 2014, 2015, something along those lines.
Okay, maybe we'll look
I can
up.
Double check it.
Yeah, yeah. We can
tell you.
Add it in the show notes.
Sorry.
There's a reason I send you the quote. No, that's fine.
Sorry.
And how was that?
Yeah, it was really good. Well, so the show was like amazing.
Yeah.
Definitely worth having gone to the milonga, even if like, I mean, yeah, like independently, like I would have been happy, I think, just having seen the show.
Yeah.
But also I think the milonga was like surprisingly not as bad as I was expecting. Okay. Probably because I'd built it up to be like this massive, like awful thing. And,
I see.
And like,
yeah. And you show up and it's the same people that you see every week at the practica.
Yeah, so yeah, a lot of the people were just like people I already knew, and I was like, okay, that's okay. And then you dropped me off with somebody to like talk to that I knew, and I was like, okay, like,
Lily,
I had like,
Lily did.
Yeah, so and then she also introduced me to some people, and like, like, I don't know, she was just, like, everyone was very nice to you. I think that's like a common theme, it's like, oh, everyone is actually just really nice.
Yeah, I mean, Oxford is quite a small community, and small tango communities tend to be quite friendly.
So I just like knew some people already, and then so like was able to, I guess, like I don't know, maybe they were just also just really really nice and like dance with me, and also like had somebody that I could speak to and like not just shriveled in a corner.
I see.
And it was.
So did you feel that there was a like what would you feel was the difference between a milonga and a practica?
I do think it is still more formal.
Mm.
I guess that, yeah, there's like...
Especially the practicas here, it feels like there's not, it's not really a lot of sort of intentional exercises. It's kind of there for people to meet up and dance socially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like the practicas.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, in some sense, the practicas are more similar to milonga.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess yeah. I don't... Well, I haven't experienced any other kind of practica. But yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The milongas still feel like, I don't know, everyone like makes a bit of an extra effort to be a bit fancier, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely there is a little
dress
bit
up
of that.
A little bit.
And yeah. The...
Yeah,
it's yeah, I know. There's like a slight air of like this is to be taken a little bit more seriously.
I see.
I don't know. Maybe that's just me projecting as well.
Yeah.
I assume it should be. It's also a bit usually busier as well than the practicas.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm, so.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So. So the first milonga didn't put you off. You had quite a few dances.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, no, it was good. I think I danced with like a couple people I didn't know. Mostly
yeah.
Because they were like told to by but
they were forced to dance.
Yeah, I like apologies. Thank you. But
okay.
That's
okay. Nice. Would you now go to a milonga if it was happening? Like,
yeah, I think yeah. Now I think, I guess I yeah like
is there still
kind
like
of gone over the
sign?
Cap of like now it's oh okay I think I can this is one of the things I can now do like
okay so there is no mental sure. barrier anymore to go to a milonga.
No, well I mean not as much. I don't know.
Okay.
I think I would still like. I guess, like, okay, so the difference is, like, yeah, if you told me, like, go to milonga in London, I would still be like, oh, no. Like, that sounds so scary and formal. I don't know what I would, I'd probably hesitate.
Yeah, we discussed a little bit about kind of whether, I guess, knowing most of the people that will be at a pratica or milonga helps.
Yeah.
Right. And that's very different to going to I call these away milongas when... Like you're at a milonga in a different city or something like that.
Yeah.
That's a bit different experience to a home milonga.
Yeah.
Okay. So soon after your first milonga, there was the Oxford Tango Festival in April. So tell me about why you decided to go to that.
Did you
think that was going to be much different from a milonga?
No.
Okay. Okay.
I guess, well, so from having spoken to people about it, the impression I got was there'd be, like, some classes by guest teachers and then, and like, workshop-type things and then some milongas. But I guess I didn't have any, like, reason to believe that the milongas would be necessarily much different than
the
other milonga.
Okay.
Except one of them was in the town hall, so I guess that's a fancier location.
Yeah. Had you been in the town hall before?
I think one time for like a sports awards thing.
Oh,
like
okay.
Many
okay.
years ago. But I had forgotten how like grandiose it looks. So it was,
yeah.
So it's
okay.
like, yeah.
So you enjoyed that? Yeah.
So I didn't, yeah, that was like pretty cool.
So you mentioned you took some of the workshops.
sorry.
Would that have been the first time you had lessons from like with a guest teacher?
I think a couple times there'd been guest teachers like just at the weekly classes.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah, like once or twice there was just somebody visiting Dante and they just took a class.
Mm.
Well, for those classes I think they advertised what they were gonna be on before.
Oh, okay.
Speaking to some people, like some people just like I think showed up to the one they wanted to, regardless of the level it was meant to be targeted at. But officially there was like a kind of more beginner one and then a more advanced.
Okay.
Version.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So you enjoyed the festival?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this something that you would sort of actively like look out for, another festival, or something that just like if it was happening around, then you know, like treat it just like another milonga?
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I'm not sure how much I would personally look out for like other festivals to travel to. Because I think I still need some encouragement on the like you don't know anyone, like you know, if I don't know anyone there, I'm not necessarily just like going. But like I guess the one in France we're going to.
Yes.
Like,
so you are coming to Tarbes next month in August.
Yes. But a lot of that is because I know that there will be people I know who are also going, so that I can like have a little bit of a buffer. And like, you know, you're not forced to dance with me, but like, I think it's nice to have like, I don't know, just be like, okay, there's somebody I can like stand next to. And be like, yeah, okay, there's like persons I know.
Yeah. Okay, I guess that'll be interesting then, because it'll be maybe the first time you're kind of at a away event, and most people will be new. But I think, I mean, as I remembered, Etab was pretty friendly last year. Especially the afternoon milonga. It's very like it's outdoor. It's very casual. People dancing in shorts and whatnot. I was dancing in shorts.
Yeah, I guess like well, the hope is that if it's the same people for most of the days, then you like. You meet some people on the first day, and then you know you increase your pool of people know, and then by the end of the time I'm there, they'll be like, "Oh, I actually kind of know all of these people now."
Yeah,
or like you know, somewhat.
So that was kind of my experience last year. Like the evening milongas in the first two nights, I found it really hard to find people that I want to dance with, and it was just blind luck, right? You just dance with whoever you see. And then as you get to know more and more people, you start recognizing them. You would sort of dance with them during the day. So you recognize them, you see their face in the light. And then in the evening milongas, you'll then sort of pick them out and that will be like easier to get dances. Yeah. So it does get better and it is worth spending a few days. Okay. So how do you generally feel about... I guess you're a relatively young member in the Oxford Tango community. In age.
Right, yeah.
So does that make you feel comfortable, uncomfortable, or are you sort of indifferent about that?
I think initially that I actually was slightly actively avoiding the like student.
Yes, you mentioned this. You did not want to go to the student society. So just for the listeners, there's also a student tango society in Oxford.
And I do go there now as well.
How kind of you.
Which is, well, I guess I met you probably at a practica beforehand anyway.
Yeah. I think we met at the sort of the town practica. So you're actively avoiding the students.
I initially just like preferred ironically I was like I kind of want more of the anonymity of the town, and then my supervisor turns up, but you know it was like I don't want to like
run into people you know.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. It's like, I'm just like trying something new that I don't know. Like,
I see.
I don't know. It just felt like a nicer way to have a fresh start on something.
That's true. Yeah.
It
gets even better when you just go to a different city where nobody knows you.
I guess, yeah. But then that would have required like traveling there. So.
Okay. So and how do you feel about the student community? And there is obviously some overlap between the student community and the town community. How do you feel about these two communities now?
I guess, one of the main differences is that a lot of the student community, I think there's a lot more beginners there.
Mm-hmm.
So it ends up being a bit different. Like, why isn't the, yeah, the classes are just like structured, I don't know if they're necessarily structured that differently, but just the experience of being in the class is a bit different because in the town classes, it definitely felt like a lot of it, I was just like the worst one there by far. But then that means that you have so much like people to learn from. That
I see. Yeah.
It's it helps a lot. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you can improve like so much quicker if you're practicing with somebody who's like much better than you, but like taking the time to explain like what you're doing wrong and things like that. Mm. Whereas with the student society, there's like, because there's a lot denser, like a lot more density of beginners, then it's
They kind of have to dance with each other and learn from each other, which is a little bit
challenging. And that's like just kind of harder, I guess. But by the time I joined the student society, I'd kind of already done enough that I was on the like more experienced end. Part of the reason I stayed was like to like both, like, I mean, it's still, I was still learning something by showing up, but I was like, I'll also probably be like really helpful for like to have somebody who like has been through like whatever they've been through, but like, you know, a couple months ahead. So there's like, I know exactly, like, I don't know, like some of the things that
was going wrong
with something like that. It's like, oh yeah, like this is, I like realized this, you know, like not that long ago, and like can try and pass on or help a bit.
Nice. So I saw that you started doing a little bit of leading.
Oh yeah, yes.
Yeah. What motivated you to learn to lead?
So I guess part of that goes back to the animation stuff.
I see. Okay.
And also, like, from the start, I think I never wanted to commit to, like, either following or leading.
Mm-hmm.
But it's much easier to start by following.
Okay.
At least, I don't know. Like, definitely for me, and
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if in general, but, like, I definitely am way more natural at following.
Okay.
And that comes way more easily. Mm. But...
Yeah, I feel there are maybe like more things you have to juggle as a leader.
Yeah.
Initially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like as a follower, you just kind of have to, you have to listen to the leader, and like that's your one job. and then also listen to the music, I guess. But like the leader.
Primarily.
Whereas when you have to try leading, at least what I found is like I'm so busy like thinking about what I'm doing now, and then like you have to think about what your partner, like where your partner is, and then. And then there's the music, and then there's what you're doing next, and there's like so many things you have to think about. And whenever I try doing all of them, at least one of them falls away. And I'm getting a bit better at this, but definitely, yeah, at the start, it was just, we've got to give up on something, probably the music, because I need to think about like what I'm doing, I guess, or like try and not. Well, I guess part of that was because
music is the one.
I know, I'm also sad, but I was like, I kind of hate having to do this trade-off. But I guess in the classes, when if you're learning a step, there's a sense that, like, I mean, you kind of have to be doing the sequence, and like you'll link it to the music once you can kind of do the sequence enough that you can, like, I don't know. I guess there is a bit of like you have to get the like. Understanding and a bit of the muscle memory so that you're not like taking all your brain power thinking about what your arms are doing to like do and like, you know, where you need to be going in like the next second so that you can start timing where you're going with music, which I mean, I'm still, I guess, trying to do to like juggle this.
Does that give you a different perspective now when you're following, or have you always thought, oh, you know, the leader's doing a lot of stuff when you're following?
I think I also like technically started like just trying leading every so like it's basic. So my the first class I did I followed, and then more or less like I don't know, like quite soon in, my principle for choosing what I was doing was like just parity of the people in the class.
Oh, I see. So you can switch.
Because I was like, it's annoying if you're just like hanging around waiting.
Yeah. You might as well learn.
You might as well always be learning to do something. Mm-hmm. So I think the like one time I was like, there were like two followers. We were just like on the side hanging around. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, you know, why don't I try leading and then you can follow and then we can like just while we're waiting and doing nothing.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that once you do that, that kind of ends up screwing up the like when they say like, oh, and change partners now. Yeah. And then you change partners and then you're like still leading because there's another like spare follower that's like come out. Yeah. And then, so I think I kind of ended up doing that a bit accidentally.
You end up leading.
Yeah, like once you leave, it's like really hard to stop leading because the like,
yeah.
Then there was like parity of followers, right? So then there's like no follower wants to just be like, oh, I guess I'm like, you know, now gonna have to wait.
Yeah.
So it was that was slightly accidental, but then after that I like did make a conscious choice, like, right, because I also wanted to learn to lead as well.
I see. Yeah.
As like,
okay.
I don't know, just
yeah
for like completeness, I guess, and
Do you get to practice leading a lot these days?
Not much. I think the amount, I did a fair amount in classes, but as it turns out, that doesn't, it's not that useful if you're not also going to practicals, because then you, it's like...
Yeah, you don't internalize those things.
I guess at least the part that I find really hard is the kind of thinking ahead and also timing with the music, or like having enough mental capacity left that I can think about the music.
Yeah.
And you don't practice that when you're in a class as much, because I guess you end up like getting the what you're doing next bit is like settled because you're just doing the steps, but then it's really hard to practice the more like improvisational bit, which is like obviously really important and kind of the main thing that is required. You kind of need to go to practicals to do that. And then the problem I have at practicals is that in order to lead, you kind of need to take the initiative usually and invite people to dance with you.
Right.
However, as everyone
who was trying to
dance with me realizes that I'm really bad at the whole like eye contact and that thing. Like the cabaceo and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So usually people have to be really obvious in order to like, so that I'm
to
like when I'm follower
dance.
To invite me to dance as a follower.
Yeah.
And I'm like it takes, you know, like a whole dance for me to like psych myself up to be like, no, okay, we're gonna like try and like cabaceo with somebody. But like, I think one of the first times that I did that, so I was laughing like somebody I knew from like the practice, like, so you know, it's like already like easier.
And they know you lead.
Huh?
And they know you
lead. Yeah. So I was like kind of having like talking to them a little bit, and then I was like, oh, and like, do you mind if we like I try leading in one time? And that was okay. And then the second time I was like, okay, like psyching myself up for like the whole like interval, and then like, hey, you're gonna do it, like, you know, next time you're gonna make it, like, you're gonna do it. And then I did it, and then I went up and it was like, this is a bit longer. Oh no. What a mistake. But then I was there, I had to I was like, oh, I guess we gotta do it now. But that was not good.
Okay. Had you had any Milonga classes?
No, not at all. I best followed like once or twice a Milonga, but not, I mean, yeah. It probably wasn't the worst it could have ever, like, I don't know, maybe
I'm,
this is
I'm
me.
Sure
it, was it wasn't ideal either.
And how do you feel about... So you've been dancing for about a year now. How do you feel about these etiquettes, the Mirada and the cabaceo now? Do you feel more comfortable? Or is it still a work in progress?
Yes, was for sure a work in progress. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I think, like, I guess another anecdote, maybe, I don't know, is like, the last Milonga I went to, I did lead, like, okay. a few times.
Oh, okay.
But funnily enough, so I think there's one person who's like a friend, and then, like, you know, I did the whole talking to them first, and then asking okay. them, like, oh, yeah, true. And then all the other times, the follower asked me. No, oh, yeah.
As in knowing that you would lead them?
Well, as in, yeah. So as in a follower who knew that I sometimes led,
oh, okay.
offered for me to lead. So yeah, that's
okay. probably so sums up my leading. You've built a little reputation for yourself now.
I don't know.
I see. It's good to have like dual role dancers in the community.
So, yeah.
And it's fun, right? It's fun to like switch role.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any sort of change of perspective about what tango is now that you've been doing it for a year?
Mm.
Or is it kind of as you expected before you started?
I guess, before... So I'd never done any dancing before, so mm-hmm. I think I didn't really have, like, many prior intuitions.
Mm-hmm.
But from having watched videos, admittedly, most of the videos were pretty, like, choreographies, so mm-hmm. it's
yeah,
a bit
they're
different.
Yeah, very different to sort of but, improvised social dance, yeah.
I didn't realize, like, how much is actually led.
Mm.
And like, the whole concept of, like, leading and following and, like the kind of... it being a bit of a conversation and that kind of thing. That was, like, one of the things I kind of discovered initially. And I was like, oh, this is actually so much cooler than, like, I had, like, thought
right.
it was.
Yeah.
Because that, like, didn't... I guess it just didn't really occur to me that, like, mm. oh, you know, like, sure, the follower does this, all this fancy stuff, but
yeah.
but that's actually because the leader is like, kind of
there's
cueing
like
it in a way. And it's
yeah.
a kind of, like, a response and like, a
okay.
a conversation thing. And... yeah,
yeah.
That was like...
So you had understood it to be like a choreography?
Some, yeah, some, I guess so.
Okay.
I hadn't
it
thought about it
that
hard, that but
watching.
Like,
yeah, course,
I definitely
yeah.
hadn't, like, or, yeah, like, I think I didn't realize yet how much the follower is still doing stuff and is like, not,
mm.
but, and they have agency.
Yes.
But I think I... didn't realize how much the leader is doing.
Mm, okay.
Because I guess when you're looking at dancing,
mm.
it's easy to look at the, like, because usually the follower is doing, like, way more
yeah,
flamboyant
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So you kind of look at that and go, like, oh, that's very cool.
Mm.
But you don't think that, oh, you know, that's, that can
around.
Be very, yeah, like, what are they doing? Just like. But, like, the reason that the follower can be so flamboyant is because the leader is, like, kind of setting that up and helping them and,
yeah.
and like, you know, like.
Yeah.
And oh, like the leader gets to do cool stuff too, but and I think that's one of the things which, like, I guess I have found really cool about, like, also, like, the more experienced leaders, some of them you see that they're like can put a lot more ornamentation in, and
oh,
like
yeah.
I guess that's like, I don't know, that's like the holy grail of, like, at least, like, yeah, like, you can both be like a good leader in terms of.
Uh-huh.
Like the whole connection thing, which,
yeah.
but also be doing that and also, like, doing
okay.
fancy stuff. I don't know. I feel
see.
Like that's like, oh, you've like reached.
You can make someone else look good and yourself look good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.